Hey folks, it's John. Welcome back to another episode of Talk to Me in the Car, a podcast about all things teaching related and education inspired that I would typically record in my vehicle on my drive back from work as a high school instructional coach. But today, and through our coronavirus shutdowns, I'm doing daily episodes and I'm not recording in my car. I'm recording in my house and on a walk and just hanging out because as an instructional coach, there's a lot of information pouring through every minute of every day. And if I waited till once a week, it would be out of date by the speed at which this whole pandemic is evolving. So I wanted to help teachers out as best as I can while I hiccup over here. I apologize. And today, happy April Fool's Day. I'm talking about something we talked about last week in a small way. I'm going to kind of go a little bit bigger with it. Last Friday's episode was all about, you know, going outside, opening the windows, luften, like get the fresh air back in. But today I want to go a little deeper into that concept and talk about a quote from the guy who built The Legend of Zelda video game and the Mario video games. His name is Shigeru Miyamoto. And he said, on a sunny day, play outside. And I want to talk about that, but not really playing outside, digitally playing outside. We'll talk about what that looks like in a second. First things first, though, if you like the podcast and you want to subscribe, awesome. You want to leave a comment, that's great. A rating that's thumbs up makes people find it. So on your favorite podcasting app, it helps get it in the hands of other teachers. Awesome. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. If you want to talk further, feel free to message me on Twitter. I'm at MeehanEDU. It's Meehan like my last name and EDU like teaching. Love teaching, love talking about it. So whether you're littles, middles, high schools, adult learners, college kids, whatever, let's talk. Let's geek out. I have a website too. It's www.adrenalinerush.com. And that is all about game-changing student engagement, inspired by theme parks, mud runs, and escape rooms. And I have all sorts of toys and tools and tech tips and strategies and templates. Please steal them, download them, change them, make them beautiful, make them awesome for your classes. Go. In a time like this, where nothing is certain, having an instructional coach on demand is a good thing. So I want to help you out in any way that I can. Now, that said, today's podcast is all about, on a sunny day, play outside. But what do you do when your state's on lockdown and no one's allowed to go outside? How can we do that in our classroom? How can we replicate that sense of adventure, that same exploration? What Miyamoto did when he was a kid is he loved collecting bugs in jars. And he loved exploring the caves around his house and when he grew up in Japan. So when he built The Legend of Zelda video game, he wanted it to have that same sort of exploration feel. He was a big fan of, at the time, the Indiana Jones movies. And that idea of, like, you know, Raiders of the Lost Ark, just kind of exploring all these spelunking in these caves, not even spelunking gear, just like, I don't know, I'm a kid, I go outside, I play, and I look around, and I find myself in all these different adventure type scenarios. We never know what's around any corner. And he wanted to capture that same spirit of wonder in the games. So what he did, this is an apocryphal story, but it's one of my favorites, is when they built The Legend of Zelda, they had just come off the success of the Mario video game. And the Mario video game, of course, is a very famous platformer. You start on the far left of the screen, and your goal is to make it all the way to the castle hidden on the far right of the screen with a scrolling, platform of things that keep coming at you, bad guys and pits and, you know, things to jump over and coins to collect. And so you go from left to right in pretty much every Mario game, at least to start. And then when you make it all the way to the right, you win. So it's pretty intuitive when you play the game. You try to jump on the bad guys because you're afraid of them. And they look like these little mushrooms coming by. They're called Goombas. And so you jump on the mushroom or the bad guy's head, and he gets squashed. He disappears. Awesome. And then you see a mushroom coming at you, and you don't know what to do with that. So you jump on it naturally because it worked when you jumped on the bad guy. And lo and behold, when you jump on the mushroom, which is shaped exactly like the Goomba, it makes you grow double your size. So the game itself is sort of teaching you, hey, don't worry about this game being particularly demanding. You're just going to jump on stuff. Jump on good stuff, it'll make you strong. Jump on bad stuff, it'll make you weak. Even the turtle shell bad guys are shaped like that mushroom, and it sort of tells you this thing, it's different than the environment that you came from. Go ahead and jump on it, see what happens. That's really helpful. So the game itself kind of is giving you a clue about how to play the game from left to right. Well, that's great. Until you stop playing Mario and you play the next video game. And in this case, the next game for Nintendo, the next one for Miyamoto, was The Legend of Zelda. And if you've ever played The Legend of Zelda, it's a top-down look at a map where your character is this little elf-looking creature who stands in the middle of this map and can go up, can go down, can go left, and can go right. And it is an overhead view, at least in the first iterations of the game, in the 30-year-old version of Zelda, where there are 8 different dungeons scattered all throughout this large-scale map that exists in all 4 quadrants of a globe that you can explore at any time. Zelda's unique like that, in that when the game begins, they don't tell you how to play the game. You can just walk to places. Now, invariably, certain places are haunted by a lot of monsters and bad guys, and so if you're not really good at the game, it will kill you pretty quick. But in theory, you can start playing the game and go right to level 7 instead of level 2 or level 4 or level 6 or level 8. Totally up to you. It doesn't tell you how to navigate, and it lets you fail. It lets you die a million times again and again and again and again until you realize, hey, maybe this one was too hard. I want to try something else. So that spirit of exploration and play, like a real cave, is captured there in it. But what Miyamoto found when he made the game is that the biggest critique they had found from people is they found it to be frustrating because they didn't know what they were supposed to do in the game. When you start, you're just this little elf character standing in the middle of the page, and you have your little swords, so you walk around chopping down stuff or killing stuff, and you're like, well, there's not much fun in this because I don't know where to go. It doesn't know what to do. And that makes me upset because if I can do everything, then why would I do anything? You know, like, what is the inclination to keep playing the game if I can go up and down and left and right? So what Miyamoto did, which is revolutionary and really brilliant, he took away the sword in the starting of the game. He took away the thing that makes you strong, the things that make you safe, the thing that makes you protected. And he did it on purpose. Because what it forces us to do now as players is you start the game off, and now you're this little elf character in the middle of the page. You don't know whether to go up, down, left, or right. So you go right because you played every other video game in the world, and what do you know? You see bad guys. You try to hit the A button and the B button frantically while the bad guys close in on you, and you don't have anything to protect yourself. And just like that, you're dead, and you get to hear the bad sound, and you have to start over, and that sucks. You're like, well, that was dumb. I'm not going right now, so I'll go left instead. You go left, and then you do the same, die again, right? So you're like, all right, well, I can't go left, can't go right. I guess I'll go down. Go down, dead again. You're like, man, this game, like, I can't do anything. I'm trying to explore, and I just keep getting punished for it again and again and again and again. I don't even know if I want to play this game. Right before you quit, you see in that same main screen, there's a left, a right, a down, and right at the very north, there's what appears to be a hole in a mountain. Now, you tried left, and you died. You tried right, and you died. You tried down, and you died. And you're like, all right, I guess before I turn this game off, I'm going to go into that little hole, see what happens. You go into that hole, and there's an old man, and it's a temple. And there's fire shooting out on both sides, and you see him with a little text blurb over his head. And he tells you, it's dangerous to go alone. Here, take this. And he gives you a sword. So what the game does is it rewards you for exploring. And now you're like, oh, so that's how I play this game. When I go places, I have to find stuff. And then when I find stuff, now the game is way easier. So it pretty much tells you in that first screen, you're going to play until you die. And then when you die, it's okay. You're going to learn by dying, and you have a chance to do it again. But when you've learned it, then go to a place you didn't go before. Try to do something you never did, and you'll be stronger and better prepared for the game that lies ahead. And then just like that, you feel confident in going through 8 different dungeons that are scattered all at once. You're like, oh, maybe I just got here too soon. All right, I'll come back another time. Let me go somewhere that feels easier. And that encourages you to try stuff, to look for things. And it really does capture that spirit of play and that spirit of freedom, which is what we want our students and our classrooms to feel like too. In this time where we've moved to this online learning, this distance learning, how can we replicate that same sense of curiosity and wonder and play? And I want to talk about the idea of playing outside through a bunch of different websites that are available for us as teachers and for students to replicate that same sense of, I don't know, just go out there and play with stuff. Does that sound cool? Like, just try it. Just try stuff. And I want to talk about 2 or 3 different sites that I think are really, really valuable, but I'm sure you can think of a million others. First things first, before I talk about any specific sites, if you're doing any class with any content, whatever that content is, and you want students to get a feel for like the real life place of what that place was, consider just searching for yourself for like a virtual reality tour of that place, or augmented reality tour of that place, or 3D video tour of that place. Because there are a lot of historical sites, famous places, that do have like fully rendered 3D environments that you can go online and see. For example, a walking tour of the Gold Coast mansions where the Great Gatsby was set. They piece together historical footage, and you can like go left and go right and up and down and see the size and scope and grandeur of what these places look like with embedded videos and things like that. If you wanted to, you can visit places that are of historical import. You can talk about places like Anne Frank and the Annex. Her entire family website, like the Anne Frank Foundation, the Trust, has like a digital tour of the annex, and you can like walk through it and see, and it'll take you like, you know, an hour to interact with all the different elements. So you look up, you look down, you look sideways, you see, you know, what was in each room. You click on certain panels and passages, and it tells you more information, give you pages from her diary. That's really informative, very, very powerful. There are historical sites, and there are like places of like real significance that have those digital tours. There's walking tours of Auschwitz. You can do on the U.S. Holocaust Memorial. We'll send you to the actual camps, and you'll be able to walk through these large stretches. And then when you walk through spaces, you can like click on stuff and see almost like plaques about, you know, what had happened at that location. And again, small video or small historical footage, as if you were in a museum. And that's a really cool thing to give students a sense of, you know, just place and size and scope. And if you're talking about even colleges, you know, giving students a tour of the places they want to go to. Many colleges have digital tours available on their website, and they can walk you through all the high spots of, you know, why you would want to spend tens of thousands of dollars to hang out with them every year. Really helpful. Really, really helpful. And that's a really cool thing. But if you want your students to play outside and create things, there's a bunch of different websites. And I mentioned three or four to help out, to give you that sense of it. One of my favorites is, it's dopey and it's really kind of innocent, but it's a lot of fun, is a site called GeoGuessr. That's GeoGuessr, GeoGuessr. And you as the teacher kind of scatter breadcrumbs through an interactive Google map. But when students come to those breadcrumbs, they don't know where they've been scattered. They just look left, look right, look up, look down on a street view. But it doesn't tell them the geographic coordinates. So they have to sort of discern from where or what where they are based on what they're seeing around them. So like, well, it looks like there's a bunch of mountains. Huh, I don't know. It looks like those mountains are like red and sandy. Okay. If I look left, I look right, it looks like it stretches for like 100 miles as far as the eye can see. Just big open spaces with like, I don't know, cactuses? Well, that's kind of weird. And you're like, so where in the world are you? When they feel comfortable, they take a guess. They push a button and they're like, I think I'm in, I don't know, Texas? And it'll tell them, based on what their vote was or where their guess was, like they click it on Google Maps, how far away they were from the actual point of origin. And then when they get really good, they can come to figure out, oh man, well, that certain flora, that fauna only exists in this space, or that geographic formation only exists in this place, or, oh, I know this historical location or this monument or this landmark. And it really does help them get a sense of purpose. And they can play these games online for hours. It feels like a video game. When the World Health Organization is literally telling us, in a time of crisis, go home, play video games. That's actually something to consider. And it's a really cool toy to kind of work into your classroom repertoire, GeoGuessr. I really quite dig it. If you don't want to use GeoGuessr, Google Maps certainly works much the same way. I was working with a math teacher, and we developed a travel trigonometry challenge where they had to travel all across the world to like a bunch of different locations. And in each location, there was a trigonometry challenge, but there was also a travel challenge too. And I'll talk about what each one looks like. So for example, you get to the Leaning Tower of Pisa and you're there in Italy. And at the Leaning Tower, you want to calculate the angle of this you know, famous tilted building. And of course you have to apply like the Pythagorean theorem and math stuff to understand what that looks like. Okay, fine. That's just a typical worksheet problem, like a worksheet of, what do they call those things? Word problems, right? Like, you know, the tower is X and then the rise over run is Y. Fine. But there on her travel trigonometry challenge, she listed about 80 yards away from the Tower of Pisa, 80 yards away to the west, there's a famous botanical gardens. Visit that botanical gardens and tell me the name of, like, the center pavilion. No way to Google that. No way to learn that information except to visit the map of that space. Then to find yourself at a street view of that space and walk around from that space and say, okay, I have to go west, I have to go east, I have to go north, I have to go south. How far is about 80 yards? They walk, and then find themselves in a botanical gardens online. Really cool and really helpful, because in 15 or 20 years, when your kids are out of your classes and are visiting real life places, how cool is it if they turn to their own children and say, oh, you know what? Leaning Tower of Pisa. When I was in seventh grade, we studied this place. I think there's a botanical garden somewhere around here, if I remember correctly. That's cool. That's a practical, real-world application of what your content was, and that really stays with them. So, like, GeoGuessr, Google Maps, amazing ways to get kids to go and play outside. If you want them to play outside with something that's a little bit more closer to home, awesome website called CoSpaces.edu. You have the ability to make, like, a virtual diorama. which can be manipulated in any form or any fashion you want to. So you can throw things that are 3D scanned or 3D printed inside of it. You can scan your own face. You can scan your own house and drop the digital scan directly into CoSpaces, or you can build it from scratch. So like you can have a walkthrough exhibit of a museum on modern American art, or you can have a walkthrough exhibit, a replica of the house from Uncle Tom's Cabin or something, whatever you're thinking of. CoSpaces is an awesome way to get students to just log into a website and walk through, and then they can put up, plaques and paragraphs of what each thing is supposed to have been. And it just feels like a digital display of what otherwise would have had to be in a shoebox in your front of your room in the classroom. No glue required. Not bad. And then I guess the mother of all playout sides online has absolutely got to be Minecraft. Using Minecraft EDU or just regular Minecraft is an awesome way to get students to build replicas of whatever you are studying in your classes. And for my class right now, my students are doing a choice blogging project. I don't care what they talk about. I don't care if they do blogs or vlogs or podcasts, but I want them just talking about something that they care about and they're passionate about. It has nothing to do with my content. That's fine. I just want to do something over the break. And then check in regularly, telling me what they're doing. These are 11th graders, so I'm going to push them pretty hard, but it's not going to feel hard. So what I did is just talk about what you want. So I have a kid who's a big fan of sports. So he wanted to see if in Minecraft he could make a scale model replica of Audi Field, where the Washington, D.C. Defenders play their XFL football games. And so he built in Minecraft what appears to be the shell of a stadium. And he's like, this is really cool. I have a lot of reference photos. I have season tickets. I really like this, blah, 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 blah. He's like, what I'm having a hard time with is all of the backstage areas, all of the concessions areas, all of the locker room areas, because I never really have as many photos of that. I don't know that space as well. So working together, back and forth via email, I've sent him links and video and things that he can use as points of reference from other people who have actually visited real life, concession areas and made videos themselves walking around in backstages of other stadiums. So he can use these as sort of reference photos and then cobble together a digital version of what it probably looks like in the locker room area or in the underground area, in the tunnels area, in the food service areas, in the concession areas, in the restrooms. And he's probably spending, I want to say something crazy, like 30 to 40 hours on this Minecraft project to build a scale replica with functional concession stands and working bathrooms of his favorite place to visit. When he's done, he'll make a Twitch-style video where he'll walk me through and narrate every last stinking part of that video. Here we find ourselves on the 50-yard line. It was hard because blah, 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 blah. When we get to the end zone, you notice this is exactly X number of feet. And then if you look at the other goalposts, oh, blah, 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 blah. Now let's take a walk and show you the concession stand. That is reading, that is writing, that is speaking, that is presentation. And if he's coding, he's speaking another language and then talking about how he wrote that language. So he has to metacognate why he did what he did. Really high level, very advanced stuff, all out of play with Legos online. So I encourage you as an educator, if you're using GeoGuessr or Google Maps or Google Earth, if you're using CoSpaces or Minecraft, find ways in your content, even again, tying back to these existing websites, these VR tours, these AR tours, where students can be inside the comfort of their own classroom and just play outside, have a chance to get outside of their own headspace. Even if they're using a computer to explore it, it really does help them feel like they're transporting themselves to a place far, far away from a quarantine and a shutdown. It really can unlock a lot of imagination, a lot of wonder, a lot of joy, a lot of excitement, and selfishly on brand, a little bit of adrenaline. That's the thing that gets them fired up to come back tomorrow. So that's my thoughts for the day. Would love to hear your thoughts. Feel free to message me. Thank you for sticking around for these podcasts. They go hopefully about 10 to 15 minutes, sometimes longer like this one. So I appreciate you tuning back in. We'll be back tomorrow with more. Hang in there, stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll talk next time.